Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading today comes from Exodus 15, verses 22 to 16:8. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Then the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you should know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord."
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we can come before you, Lord God, and hear from you. Father, as we encounter you, set our eyes and our hearts on you, Father, that we would hear directly from you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. And we thank you for what you are going to do in and through each and every one of us. Have your way with us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you say hi to someone before you sit down? Before you sit down, say hello. Good morning, everybody. Great to, it's good to be here. Yes. I'm glad. Wow, so good to see everyone here. Really looking forward to, you know, what God is going to do this morning. Okay, and so yeah, as Bianca was saying, we're continuing our series of The Deeper Life. And so we'll get right into it. We'll get right into this. And so the title of my message today is The Third Option. Everyone say The Third Option. Okay. Anyone here like cues? Anyone likes cues? Yes? That's what I was hoping. I was hoping no one would raise their hands. Because if you put up your hands to say that you like cues, I would be praying for you like right now. Because, you know, it's not normal to like cues. I don't like cues. I don't like queues, especially in shopping centers, right? You know, those queues, there are certain times of the day when I'd go to like our supermarket, our local supermarket, and, you know, they have these multiple checkouts available, but there's one going, and it has a queue of like 10 people. And then you look at the self-serve checkouts, and there's always like one or two that are out of order. And it's usually the ones that have cash, right? right? And that day I have to use cash because my wife said I have to use cash to pay for the shopping that day. And so there's 10 people waiting for that queue as well. And as I'm waiting in the queue, the thoughts that are going on in my mind, right? Man, because in the corner of my eye, I see in the customer services area, there's 3 of them standing there. And they're just chatting away, laughing. And in my head, I'm thinking, one of you guys should like get over there and open up another checkout or something, you know, because I'm standing here waiting in this queue patiently. And, you know, I need to be at places. I need to get some. I need to take these home, cook my dinner. And you know, and you guys are just chatting over there, laughing away. And I want to talk to your manager. This is all in my head, right? I am not a fan of queues. And this is what we see and hear from the people of Israel. Grumbling, complaining. They were complaining and grumbling about what was happening or not happening according to their eyes. And this is what we hear in our 2 instances from the reading from Bianca today. And so to give you a bit of background, okay? Exodus 15, it starts off with this song of celebration, okay? It's a song of celebration from Moses and Miriam, and they're singing this song of victory because in Exodus 14, God has led the people of Israel out of Egypt. He opened up the Red Sea and the people walked through it, and he closed the Red Sea on Pharaoh and his army, and they were wiped out. And so in Exodus 15, this is where, like Moses and that, they're singing these songs of praise. And these are some of the words. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. That's our God. He has done this. The horse and his rider, he has thrown into the sea. God has gone, ding, to Pharaoh and his chariots of armies. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. They see God as the one who saved them. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. This is this consistent language and theme during during Exodus 15. You hear the people honoring God, giving worship to God. You know, they're so happy with what God had done. And then when we get to verse 22 from our passage today, it says this, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water from Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And so they've gone 3 days into the wilderness and there's no water. They come to this place called Marah and there's water there, but it's not drinkable. It's bitter. And so you've got to be thinking, okay, Moses, what are you going to do? What are you going to do here, Moses? And I'm sure Moses was already, you know, he already knew what was coming from these Israelites, right? Because he's already had a glimpse of their grumbling, their complaining. Just before they cross the Red Sea, right? As the people are waiting there and they have the Red Sea in front of them and they see Pharaoh and his army coming up behind them, and they're like to Moses, Moses, why did you bring us here to die out here in the desert? You know, they're complaining to him. Oh man, you should have just, is the graves cheaper out here in the desert, Moses? And they're complaining at him. And then God says to Moses, okay, Moses, put up your staff, let's go. And the people go through, and then he closes, and Pharaoh and his army are gone, wiped out. Verse 24, and the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now this is a key thing that I want us to see this morning. So this Moses that we're seeing right here in Exodus 16, he's a very different Moses from the one that we saw back in Exodus 2. Because remember back in Exodus 2, that Moses, when he saw an Egyptian beating up on an Israelite, his response was, oh, okay, you know, you're beating up on my fellow countrymen, I'm going to take you out. And so he kills this Egyptian. And then he hears that someone saw what he did. And so he gets scared. He's scared that Pharaoh's going to find out that he's killed this Egyptian because he was trying to save this Israelite. And so he's like, no, I can't hang around. And so he runs away. He takes off. And he ends up in this land called Midian. And there he finds a wife, like you do when you run away to a land, you find a wife. And then, you know, and he ends up working for his father-in-law, taking care of his flock. And then in Exodus 3, he has this encounter with God in the burning bush, right? And this is where God confirms him. Remember, God says to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then God gives him his calling. I'm calling you, Moses, to go and set my people free. This is not the same Moses that we're seeing here in Exodus 16. This Moses is different. This Moses is calmer most of the time. This Moses doesn't respond out of his emotions most of the time. This Moses knows who he is and whose he is. This Moses is secure in his identity and his leadership most of the time because he has encountered God. He has been with God. We see this confidence in his character and how he responds in these situations, especially in the way that the Israelites complain to him. They grumble at Moses. They complain to Moses because they see him as the man that has led them to this point. And because things aren't working out the way that they expected them to, it's your fault, Moses. It's your fault there's no water here. I want us to think about this. Think about how sometimes we can respond like this to people around us. Young people, if I can talk to some young people in here. Yeah, it's good. Maybe you blame your parents for the way your life is. I'm talking from experience here. I have teenage kids. They be like telling me, Dad, you never let us go without friends. You always tell us what to do. Because I'm your daddy. But you know, young people, we're your parents. We're trying to direct you in the right way. Husbands and wives. Maybe you blame each other for some, I don't know, maybe key decisions that have happened in the past that have had some significant consequences today. Maybe you blame a friend for something that has caused a wedge in your relationship. The people of Israel, they blamed Moses. They blamed him for there being no water to drink. Or because it hadn't turned out the way that they expected it to. And so they wanted to blame someone. They wanted to find someone to point the finger at. And Moses, you're it. I'm a rugby fan, okay, and I like watching the All Blacks, okay. I know, don't hate me, okay. But in the last couple of months, this is going to hurt. In the last couple of months, the All Blacks have lost 4 out of 6 games. Yes, they lost again yesterday. I'm crying inside. Something. This is something that's really unusual. you know, and rare. It's rare in All Black history, okay? If you are an All Black follower, you will know we never lose 3 games in a row. That never happens. But it has. And there were some nasty things that were being said about the coach, about the players. And this is coming from the fans, the people around. They weren't actually doing the work on the field. This is people watching, right? So like the Israelites, they just watching, right? And they'd be like complaining. Get rid of the captain. Sack the coach. That guy doesn't know how to play. He doesn't play like Richie McCaw. Well, he's not Richie McCaw-er. So the fans were comparing the current group of guys to the past group of guys, right? Because their team wasn't winning. When I think about Moses and him hearing all these negative words, right? Moses, why'd you bring us out here? There's no water out here to drink. But 3 days before that, you were celebrating and, you know, quite happy about what God had done. 3 days. When I think about Moses, he could have easily said to them, you know what? Stuff you guys, I'm going. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He could have tried to manufacture something himself, you know, I'll just say something just to make these people happy. He could have done that, but he doesn't do that either. But Moses takes the third option. And he does this. Verse 25, and he cried to the Lord. Everyone say, he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them. I call this the third option. Not because of the priority that Moses put on it, but the priority that we can sometimes put on God, right? The third option. To Moses, God was the first option. God was the only option. When someone goes crying to someone, there is this reliance on that, right? There's this, oh, I don't know anything else. And so he's crying out to God. God, you know these people better than anyone else. And he goes to them. Moses knew God as his first option. But for us, though, I think at times, God can be the third option for us, right? I'm speaking from experience as well. Because sometimes, right, we'll probably look at ourselves first, try and fix it ourselves, you know, personal development, doing it. Yes, I can do this. Willpower. I got this. Yeah. Wake up the next morning. Nah, I'm too tired. You know, getting up. Oh, I can do this. I can do this. And when that doesn't work out, then what do we do? Oh, we'll look around us. Oh, who can help us? We'll look to our spouses. We'll look to our work colleagues. We'll look to our siblings. We'll look to people we think, oh, you know, they will be able to help me. They'll help me. And then when they can't, oh, okay, maybe I'll look on social media. I'll look to social media, trying to look for influencers, people who are speaking to what I'm going through, right? And then when we can't find it, oh, okay, maybe I'll go to God now. Maybe I'll look to God now. I have been like that at times in my own life, where God hasn't been my first point of contact. And it isn't until a little bit further down the process that I come to my senses and I think, this ain't working. God, please help me, right? Maybe you've had instances in your own life where God hasn't been the first option that you go to, right? How's that turned out for you? I'll just leave that there. Okay, you don't have to say nothing. You don't have to look at me. Just look down. Ask God. God, you know my heart. But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the grace of God. If not for the grace of God, I don't know where I would be. And I am sure that's the heart of every single one of us in here, right? We're so grateful for God and His grace in our lives. And so Moses, in the season of his life, he had this rhythm of when people complained, he would converse with God. When people would grumble, he would go to God, right? Now, definition of grumbling, okay? Let's look at this. The Webster Revised Unabridged Dictionary, care of the Internet Fantastico, it says this, to murmur or mutter with discontent. Ooh, that's pretty on the button. To make ill-natured complaints in a low voice and a surly manner. Anyone here heard that before? Oh, man, look at those guys. I don't know what they're doing. They should. I know what needs to be done around here. They should trust me. You know, I am the man. They don't know. Why are they? Man, those guys are bots. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Anyone know that? Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look to God. Look to God, family. The people of Israel, they were discontent. They were discontent with God. They complained to Moses, but they were discontent with God. They were discontent with what they had. And so their response was to complain at the man. Complain to the man. Question. You're going to love these question times. Have you ever indirectly grumbled at someone, but in reality, you were really angry or discontent with God? Oh, there's some shifting happening in here. I don't know about you. Yeah. What do you reckon? Have I ever indirectly grumbled at someone, but in reality, you know the truth. You know what you're really complaining about. I was actually discontent with God. You know, when we arrive at this place of discontent, we need to remind ourselves that it's been a journey to get there. Okay? It doesn't just happen. You know, you don't just wake up in the morning, I'm discontent. Nah. It's a journey you got there. Okay? And it's been a slow journey. It's little things, right? Little things that you probably didn't even notice. You probably didn't think they were on the radar. Or you probably even thought, we probably even thought, oh, no, it's not a biggie. But it's taking root in here. It's starting to change something in here. And we just let it slide. Let it slide. And when we're letting it slide, it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. Right? And then one day we like snap. We become disgruntled. We're bitter. We're jaded, we're mean, and we're disconnected. That was the people of Israel. That's what we see in the Israelites. Now let's look at another instance where the people of Israel grumbled, because this wasn't the first time and it wasn't going to be the last time. Okay, in Exodus 16, it's about 2.5 months since they've left Egypt, and now they're complaining about being hungry. Okay? Oh, Exodus 16, verse 2 and 3. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted, but now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. That's the New Living Translation that I'm reading from. I think this could be the first official occurrence of hangry, right? This is the first official occurrence of hangry. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the term hangry, I am going to educate you and give you a quick word lesson on hangry.
Hangry comes from the two key words of hungry and angry. And when you combine the two, you get hangry. Everybody say hangry. And that ends the lesson for our word today. Hangry. The people of Israel were hangry. But God provides for this people. He provides manna from heaven in the morning and quail for them in the evening. Now, quail, you know, it's a type of a bird, and that provided the meat for the people, right? Because they were complaining, oh, back in Egypt, we had meat and bread as much as we liked. And then God goes, okay, here you go. Here's your bread. Here's your meat. All they needed to do was to go out daily and gather what they needed. They didn't need to gather extra. They just had to gather that portion for the day and trust that God will continue to provide. And so we see this recurring pattern of complaining and grumbling from the people of Israel. And then God hears the grumbling. God hears the grumbling. And then Moses cries out to God. And then God provides for the people. And it's this constant cycle that the people of Israel go through. And this is a major theme through the book of Exodus. Redemption. God delivering the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, right? And then he continues to deliver his people. He continues to provide for them. He continues to protect them. He continues to fight for them through that whole time of the wandering in the desert. God is faithful. And so we got to ask ourselves, how is it? How is it that Moses is at this place? You know, when people complain, he runs to God. He cries out to God. How did Moses arrive at this place? And I think that it's safe to say that Moses had built this rhythm in his own soul already. This rhythm of going to God. He doesn't just react according to demands anymore. But he goes to the source of all things. He goes to God. God is the first option, and not necessarily the third or fourth or the last option. I like what Ruth Haley Barton says in her book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And she says this, part of Moses' job as a spiritual leader was to establish rhythms for life and community that would sustain the people and help them live as human beings in the presence of Almighty God. And Ruth goes on to explain that the daily rhythms that God gave the people of Israel was the receiving of their daily sustenance from the hand of God, right? Quail in the evening, manna in the morning. Morning by morning, they would gather it as much as they needed for that day. And besides these daily rhythms, they were also shaped by the rhythm of working for 6 days and then resting on the seventh. The seventh was Sabbath for them. And so this was all before the Ten Commandments were given. And so these instructions about going and gathering and the Sabbath were made very clear. And it was Moses' job to teach and train and encourage the people in these practices so that they would learn to trust God. Now, if we were to look at our own individual life, what are my daily rhythms? What are the rhythms that you would say that you have in place in your own life? What are the things that you do every day faithfully? And you might be thinking, oh, I don't really have any rhythms. Well, let me give you some rhythms. These are some rhythms that we're unconsciously aware of. Okay, here's some examples. You get up in the morning. Prayerfully, you all get up in the morning, right? You make your bed. You brush your teeth. You get change. You have breakfast. You make your lunch. You go to work. You go to school. Those are rhythms. Those are daily rhythms that we have, right? Most of us have those daily rhythms. But let's look a bit closer at the rhythm that the Israelites were being taught, okay? In Exodus 16, verses 4 to 5, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. And so they're given these specific instructions. Okay? Guys, on day 1 to 5, just go out and gather what you need for the day. Okay? That's all you need to do. The day's portion. Okay? But on the sixth day, you're to gather twice as much because tomorrow is the Sabbath and no one goes out gathering on the Sabbath. Okay? So you need to gather twice as much. Follow these instructions from God. And so the double portion that you gather on the sixth day will not be spoiled in any way because you are being obedient to the instructions of God. You're trusting in God. Because there are some people on days 1 to 5 that they would be gathering more than the day's portion, right? And that can be out of that place of fear, not trusting God. And so they think, oh yeah, he's saying 1 day's portion? No, I'm going for 6. And so he's gathering all this, right? And you know what happened? They woke up the next morning and their stuff was all off. There was maggots in it. They were off because they didn't trust God. But on the sixth day, specifically on the sixth day, you gather double the portion. And if you did that, if you were obedient to that, then it wouldn't go off. It'll be just right because you followed the instructions of God. These instructions for rhythms that God gave to Moses are rhythms that we can build into our own lives to develop this non-anxious soul in each of us. Okay, so I want to encourage each of us with two actions, okay, 2 points there that hopefully will, we can implement in our own lives, right, to build these daily rhythms in our own personal life, okay? The first one is this. We are to go out. We are to go out, okay? We are to go out. Go out to God's provision that he has set before us. We are to go out and see God's provision. Think about this. The Israelites, they had to leave their tents, okay? They had to leave their tents and come out of their tent. And when they came out, they saw all the provision of God because it had just fallen on the ground. It was all before them. And all they had to do was go, wow, our God is so good. But they had to step out of their tent. They had to step out of their comfortable little sleeping bags or whatever and go out and see the provision of God on the ground. And then they just need to gather that up. Think about your time with God. How often do you go out to him? How often do you go out to him? Is it a daily rhythm that you have to go out and see God's provision? It's one thing to pray wherever we are, but it's another thing to go to see God's provision, where we are taking steps towards God and not just expecting God to come to us, right? Do you have that daily rhythm of going out to God? You know, a practical way that you could think about this is that, you know, maybe you assign a room or a place or a chair in your house and you say, okay, this place, when I sit in this chair, this is me going to God, you know, out of your bed, because sometimes I'm guilty of this. I'm in my bed. I open my eyes. Thank you, Lord, for this day, you know. But if I'm saying, I'm not, it's in my study or it's in my lounge, I'm going to God out there. You know, you're going to get out. It takes some effort for you, right? It takes some effort for you to get to that place. That's what I want to encourage us on. You know, we can do it in the comfort of wherever, yes. But if we have this rhythm where we're going to God, physically going to God, and we know that, God, you've brought me here. Here I am, God. Speak to me. That's a rhythm that we can begin to practice in our own life today. Go to God. Number two, last one. Gather the day's portion. Gather the day's portion. Okay, this is God testing the people of Israel, whether they will not allow or not only follow his instructions, but that they will also trust God for their daily sustenance. Will people gather enough for the 2 days' worth? Or will they try and gather more for the other day because they don't trust God? Do we trust God enough for our daily portion? Or are we just hustling hard, you know, to try and make ends meet? You know, there's nothing wrong with hard work. Nothing wrong with it. But if it's just for the primary motivation of trying to get a better life or more toys, more stuff, then we could be working ourselves into the grave, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Our work should be an extension of our worship to God, right? Our work should be an extension of our worship to God. If you're in a workplace that, I hate this job, you know, then maybe you need to find a new job that you'll be passionate about and passionate about the people around you. Or, you know what, you could be grateful that you have a job and just, you know, have a new perspective on the people around us. Don't worry, I was in one of those places too. But I want to encourage us. Come with this heart of thankfulness. Come with this heart of gratefulness. So what can gathering the day's portion look like? Okay, it can look like this. It can look like waiting. It can look like resting. It can look like praying. It can look like reading. But it's from this place of peace in our soul and contentment in God. Colossians 3:16 says this. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. You know, throughout this series, we've been highlighting the soul of our leadership, the importance of having a healthy soul, a soul that is non-anxious, a soul that is secure in who God is, a soul that rests well in the presence of God. But in order to have this healthy soul, we need to have places in our life, places that we can daily drink from, places of restoration, places that we can rest in God, places that we can that God can speak to us, places that we can pause in, right? So we need these daily rhythms to help remind us of God and his faithfulness and that we trust in him. And so, as we prepare to go into our practice for today, right? Because hopefully you've noticed at the end of every message, we've always done this little application or practice. And so today we're going to get ready to go into a practice for today. And so I would encourage you, you know, quiet yourself before God. Is that all right? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So before we come into the presence of God, I would invite you to allow yourself to take a few deep breaths and quiet yourself before God. You could say something like, "Here I am, God." Allow yourself the gift of enjoying the presence of God. So I'm going to pray these following intercession prayers. And where I leave space and silence, I want you to pray and ask God for names or faces that He will reveal to you according to those parts of the intercessory prayer. Loving God, I hold in your healing presence those who suffer pain and ill health. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, I hold in your healing presence those who suffer in mind and spirit. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, I hold in your healing presence the suffering people of the world and the places where people are experiencing hurt and division, including places of hurt and division in my own life. May we know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, I hold in your healing presence those experiencing grief and loss. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, I hold in your healing presence those who need wisdom for the next steps. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, I hold in your healing presence those people in situations that seem broken and beyond repair. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Father, we thank you that we can come before you in your presence where there is fullness of joy and just pause and just stop and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to minister to us right where we are. Father, there may be times in our own personal lives, Father God, that we may be flustered or pushed to do things that are not pleasing to you, Lord God. Father, we ask that you would help us. Help us to build rhythms in our own life, Father God. Rhythms that will bring life, that will bring health to our soul, to be able to hear you, Lord God, more clearly as you speak to us daily. Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in each and every one of us, Lord God, how you have placed each and every one of us in different spheres around our community, around our city, Lord God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace that you give us, that you grant to us to be able to do what you are calling us to do in situations of when we come around people, when we're around people and we can speak your word or speak your life or pray for someone, Lord God. Those opportunities that we may miss or that we may take for granted, Father God, we are thankful, Lord God, that you have placed us around a community of people to be your hands and feet, to be influencers, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that these moments that we are able to quiet ourselves and sit before you and just hear from you, Lord God, that we would find refreshment in those places, that we would find healing in those places, that we would find your wisdom in those places, Lord God. That we won't rush into things, Lord God, but that we would allow your Holy Spirit to do his work in our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. So I got a little question for you, okay? I'm just going to have a little 3 minutes of discussion, okay? And this is our question, okay? What daily rhythms do you have in your own life that build, feed, and strengthen your soul, right? If you haven't got any, just have a quick conversation. And I'll encourage you to spend some time praying for each other as well, okay? So we'll go 3 minutes with this, okay? Just person next to you or a couple of yous around. And for those that are online, you can jump into the Zoom and have a discussion there. We have a team that would love to discuss and pray with you there as well. Okay, cool.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.